Making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Give him one of these pills if he has any pain.
A parable. What is it? Well, it's a little story with a lot of truth. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus told many parables to grown-ups and children alike. He told them simply and sincerely, in words everyone could understand, so that all might learn the lesson he was trying to teach.
Selfish with the helmets on the little bus, to break fluid sewage, crippled up to get retorted nickel punks. Slowly culprits were his lowly robot, only vote when they rise in sections to interrogate the holy ghost.
Holy smokes, father, black suit, white collar, kitty corn dungeon guns, and three fingers for your daughter. Squat belly up, antique Nazi paraphernalia. You cannot pay your bills with holy water and Hail Mary luck. Shucks, fucker, enjoy the Alcatraz shower bun. And mommy's Madam Cliche, Generation X agnostic front. It ain't the nifty faith in 1958 before the new testament approved altar boy fisting rape. And take me to you later, long as he don't manipulate toddler me. Call me crazy, but I bet that wasn't God's demeanor. Sodomator peak and top of Long Island was Jesus. Every weekend, spoon-fed to appease traditional upbringing. I'm a middle Pennsylvania shithole where elders movement stress the stellar therapeutic Bible cycle. One church with a bait and tackle store next door and not much more. So the two moved to New York, made babies raised on what they'd saw. Christmas morning smelled fresher than angel pussy, but immaculate conception came second to playful goodies. Like laser tag was way more spiritual than blood and body wafer bags and manger staff among a Santa ape. Cookies.
Yeah.
Grandma was a saint, Ellie paint with snakes and bullies. And if only you'd memorize your prayers like you did your cool G's. See, by the time I was old enough to know what religion was, I was Catholicism numb and truly didn't give a
fuck.
94, moved out the crib and ain't seen a steeple since. What Knievel Eagle seeks in the Christian leader's pitch. The priest slap with parental advisory warnings. I'll be auditioning gods in my office on Monday morning.
And yet another pill. Slip down the hatch if I don't do the kill switch. I need a couple A's for Q's. I'm not an asshole, I'm just a little confused.
This story reminds us of the one Jesus told about people who were kind and helpful to others. He said that one day the king would say to these people, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." But the people asked, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or sick, or in prison, and come to you?" And the king answered, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me."
Yeah.
Just a little bruise in the back of the pews, acting amused, get a mask on the Vatican blues. For in the eyes of the organization, I was raised in aces, just another sinning brick in hell's basement. Cubicle adjacent to the killers and rapists, for what? Drugs and fucking is part of growing up. Like cups of a dumb shit's better than the schools. I'm not an asshole, I'm just a little confused. Just a lit fuse in the back of the pews, watching a thousand flavors of the same God feud. I figure ultimate peace is the common theme, so it's a no-brainer piece when the blood hit the screen. Got a basic good and evil sensibility born. Good neighbor, no, a halo wouldn't fit over horns. The more science to faith, the more karma than bread and booze. I'm not an asshole, I'm just a little confused. Not an asshole, I'm just a little confused. Not an asshole, I'm just a little confused. Not an asshole, I'm just a little confused.
Aesop Rock. Holy smokes. Holy smokes is right, buddy. It's the B-side of episode 131 of MediaMonarchy.com on this July 17th, 2009. My name's James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and the show called MediaMonarchy.com. All the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups are covered for you here. The website is a wealth of information. I implore you to use it if you're just listening to the show. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. I try and put together a well-produced, informative show for you as we break down the phony left and right and try and see the world stage for the shell game that it is. So it's about a quarter after 8 a.m. Friday morning, July 17th, 2009, and I'm coming to you from the home base of the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, recording live for you. I do a B-side for you every time the news is overwhelming, and that's more often than not. So we're going to kick off this B-side. As far as the news and politics and conspiracies and cover-ups go. But like I said, we started it off with Aesop Rock, and that's the first of our holy hymns that we're going to hear on this, as well as episode 132. But right here is a big story that I should have made room for last week. There just wasn't time, so here it is. This is going all the way back to Monday, July 6th. War criminal and Vietnam architect Robert McNamara, dead at 93. We begin with a quote from Clarence Darrow. "I've never killed a man, but I have read many obituaries with great pleasure." This from the Deutsche Press Agency. Robert McNamara, the former U.S. Defense Secretary and architect of the Vietnam War, has died at the age of 93, the Washington Post reported, citing members of his family. McNamara was a key planner of the Vietnam War, leading the Pentagon from 1961 to 1968 under Presidents John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson. He went on to serve as head of the World Bank. McNamara orchestrated the escalation of the war in Southeast Asia and soon became the focal point for anti-war protesters in the U.S. The Vietnam War quickly became known as McNamara's War. But Robert McNamara later in life admitted he developed deep regrets and doubts towards the end of his controversial tenure. As fissures began to develop with LBJ, he was appointed to serve as the head of the World Bank in 1968. The war continued 7 more years after his departure. I almost choked on this next sentence. McNamara worked to reduce poverty and spur development at the World Bank until 1981, but will forever be associated chiefly with leading the push into Vietnam. In a 1995 memoir, In Retrospect, The Tragedy and Lessons of Vietnam, McNamara expressed misgivings that prompted a renewed debate over the war, which killed nearly 60,000 U.S. troops, and of course, millions of Vietnamese. McNamara was a businessman, not a defense specialist. Before being appointed to the country's 8th defense secretary by Kennedy, he was the 8th war hawk. He had been the first non-family member to head the Ford Motor Company. Do you see a theme here? Ford Motor Company, defense secretary, World Bank president. Continuing. McNamara, who was born in San Francisco, died at his home in Washington, the Washington Post reported. He leaves behind a wife, Diana. His first wife, Margaret, died of cancer in 1981, and they had 3 children. The wealth of supplemental materials here for you, and again, that's one of the main things I try and do with MediaMonarchy.com, and I think it's the thing that puts the site ahead of some of the others, is I give you massive links and documentation so you can flesh out the story for yourself. But there's, of course, more press from around the world, and you can even read a nice long bio of all the highlights and lowlifes of Robert McNamara on historycommons.org. We also have linked up, fortunately, Errol Morris's fantastic documentary, The Fog of War, is in its entirety on Google Video. That is posted up for you. But here's some more, as if we didn't know this already, but it's nice to kind of hammer it in. This from Raw Story, McNamara deceived LBJ on the Gulf of Tonkin, documents show. Official government documents reveal new sides of Defense Secretary's legacy. On the following audio file from the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library, Johnson can be heard telling McNamara that he had misinformed him about the alleged attack.
I've been watching and listening to these stories for 30 years for the armed services. We were always sure it was an attack, and a day or two, we're not so damn sure. And a day or two more, we're sure it wasn't, didn't happen at all. And they just say that you want to be sure before you tell me that we were fired upon, that we were fired upon, because you just came in like a few weeks ago and said that damn, they're launching an attack on us. They're firing on us. We got through with all the firing, and the good thing, they hadn't fired at all.
They hadn't fired at all. Now, we've mentioned the Gulf of Tonkin many times on MediaMonarchy.com because it's the catalyzing and catastrophic event that escalated the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was already going, but that was the event that thrust it into the public consciousness and gave our misleaders the political capital they needed to go ahead with wars of aggression and resource wars and drug wars and all that. Every war is based on deception. So whether it's something like the Lusitania for World War I, or Pearl Harbor for World War II, or the Gulf of Tonkin for the Vietnam War, or the USS Maine, perhaps, for the Spanish-American War, 9/11 for the War of Terror, on and on and on. The Reichstag fire, perhaps. And 99% of the time, it's come out that these events were not as we were led to believe. And this is just another great example. So, I'm not going to spend too much more time here on Robert McNamara, but there's more there. There's that full audio file. You can get a transcript and more. PDF file of chronology of the events that McNamara prepared for Johnson. A lot of this comes from Gareth Porter. And again, this is all posted up thanks to Raw Story and more and more and more. War criminal and Vietnam architect Robert McNamara dead at 93. The fog of war indeed. But let's whiplash and jump straight into the present. The past is prologue. We hadn't seen a new episode of Collateral News in quite some time. It's one of my favorite YouTube-based, video-based news releases. We've covered tons of episodes. The links are there. If you hit the label at the bottom of the post on MediaMonarchy.com, you'll, of course, just get the list of nothing but Collateral News. Their latest episode is about homegrown terrorism, and we've covered this before, but it's nice to get the Collateral News take on the Department of Defense, of course, wanting to make protests an act of terrorism.
So what does the U.S. government think of protests against state crime and suspicious election results? Well, if those protests happen in Iran, then it's behind them 100%. Yet according to startling Department of Defense training materials newly made public, if similar protests were to occur in the United States, undertaken by U.S. citizens, they'd be considered low-level terrorism. Really? Welcome to Adams. Each year, the Department of Defense requires all of the personnel to complete a level one anti-terrorism training course. The course can be completed in a web-based distance learning format, and in that course, the following multiple choice question is asked. Which of the following is an example of low-level terrorism activity? A, attacking the Pentagon. B, IEDs. C, hate crimes against racial groups. Or D, protests. The answer is protests. This week, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a letter of complaint with the Department of Defense, demanding question be removed and that the DOD stop teaching that demonstrations of free speech, the most fundamental of rights guaranteed by the Constitution, somehow equals terrorism. The ACLU noted that the DOD's viewpoint is even more disconcerting in the context of recent government efforts to criminalize lawful dissent. the infiltration of anti-war groups in Maryland and California, the unlawful targeting and sabotaging of RNC protesters in Minnesota. If any law enforcement or government employee thinks that their participation in these activities is part of some fight against terrorism, they're not only wrong, they're criminally wrong. And both those making the policy and carrying them out should be prosecuted. Look, truth is, nobody should believe that the Department of Defense really considers protests to be terrorism. It's just a stratagem to further militarize society and enhance social control. Remember that in foreign countries, the State Department is constantly working to drum up resistance to governments it doesn't like. And yet, according to the Department of Defense anti-terrorism training course, the very same activity in the U.S. directed against unconstitutional policies of U.S. administrations would be considered low-level terrorism. Thus, despite surface appearances to the contrary, we should remember that the U.S. government has no genuine interest in creating real democracy at home or abroad. It has an interest in order, and a particular kind of order at that, one that favors elite business interests and allows for the increasing militarization of everyday life.
Collateral News, homegrown terrorism. You can get more from collateralnews.tv. It's now time for the 716 News Purge. We're going to hit the drug war, media memes, murder and mayhem, and the war horrors. Some of these stories we will flesh out more as we go. Again, keeping the site together is an amazing work of passion, and sometimes it's hard to keep everything all organized, so sometimes things get splattered all around. But here it is. Couple notes on the drug war. Suspected drug hitmen dump 12 bodies on Mexican road. That's from Reuters. We've also got from narconews.com, Celi Castillo ordered to report to federal prison. Celi Castillo used to work for, I believe, the DEA. You can see him in Kevin Booth's American Drug War. But from narconews.com, judge revokes former DEA agent's bond even after being made aware of prosecutorial misconduct allegations. Iran-Contra whistleblower Celi Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O, is being sent directly to jail in the aftermath of his encounter with the buzzsaw of Texas justice. This story's a little too labyrinthine to get into right here, but again, retaliation on a whistleblower. Media memes. And I'm sorry, but it's still inescapable. And again, it's the monarchy, so we're looking at the media. And of course, we know that the death of Michael Jackson is way more important than a million dead Iraqis. That's from Kurt Nemo, and he notes this article from The Telegraph that Michael Jackson's death was the second biggest story of the century, that being the 21st century. You want to know what number one is? The Obamasiah. Number two, Michael Jackson's death. 3, Iraq invasion. 4, Beijing Olympics. 5, global financial meltdown. 6, Hurricane Katrina. 7, Pope John Paul II death. 8, 9/11. 9, Asian tsunami. So that's according to The Telegraph. We have multiple reports, and there's video and more, that Michael's sister Latoya says that he was murdered. So we've got it from the Associated Press as well as People Magazine, and there's even a Larry King Live clip. So again, lots of hard news there for you. Jackson wanted to be cloned, his driver said. That's from clicktohouston.com. And Alex Constantine always breaking down the parapolitics and the connections between the names that are behind the scenes. Michael Jackson, Dr. Tome Tome, Frank DeLeo, Colony Capital, and Anschutz. Again, too labyrinthine to get into. But there it is. There's an amazing three-part video. Brass Check TV brought it to my attention. They called it militarized hip-hop. The three-part video is the hip-hop industry and the Masonic agenda. Basically calling out the phonies and the fakes and the sellouts. The Jay-Z's of the world, which is the easy target. Nice photos of him hanging out with Bill Gates. You know what he wants to do. The hip-hop industry and the Masonic agenda. It's about a half-hour thing. I watched it all last night. It's quite fascinating. New York Times is thinking about charging for website access. That's from the AFP. And from The Guardian, the collapse in illegal sharing and boom in streaming brings music to executives' ears. Basically saying that the days of massive illegal file sharing are coming to an end as streaming has become so much easier. I believe they quote a young girl in there that basically says, well, I don't need to download it all because it's all available to stream at any time. And she's kind of right. Lastly, on the media memes note, Vatican gives the new Harry Potter film its seal of approval. That's from the Daily Mail, and that's more strangeness from Joey Ratz, Hitler Youth, and the Vatican. The Vatican assassins, if you will. Remember they said it's okay to believe in aliens, and it's okay to go see Harry Potter and murder and mayhem reigns supreme. I don't know if I've slowed down on tracking it as much as we were in the previous months. Of course, some of those cluster dates around the middle of April, we were seeing mass murder shooting sprees, the contagion. But we still have it. Death and destruction, murder and mayhem. Natalia Estimirova, award-winning human rights campaigner murdered in Chechnya. That's from The Guardian. And that's a much bigger story than I even can wrap my brain around right now. Assassinations do happen to this day, regardless of what the Congress critters and the company would like to tell you. Iran airliner crashes, 168 people killed. We've got Raw Story, Washington Post, Raw Replay, and even a quick report from the Associated Press.
A crater in the ground, littered with wreckage. Remains of an Iranian airliner that crashed, killing 168 people. Everyone on board. The Caspian Airlines plane, a Russian-made Tupolev jet, took off from Tehran, headed for the Armenian capital of Yerevan. One witness said the plane's tail burst into flames well in the air, the plane circling, looking for a place to land.
We were three people who were really close to it. I was about 300 meters away. My brother-in-law was only about 20 meters or so away. And the aircraft all of a sudden fell out of the sky and exploded on impact.
There is little left of the plane. Pieces of wreckage, clothing. Why the plane crashed is not yet known. Officials say this is Iran's worst air disaster in 6 years. This fire chief said after going to the crash scene and scouting the area, the scope of the disaster is very wide, with the wreckage from the plane spread 150 to 200 yards. The airline says most of those on board were Armenians and Georgians, and eight members of Iran's national youth judo team headed for training. Lee Powell, The Associated Press.
Another week, another deadly plane crash. That's 168 dead in an Iranian plane crash. Seven arrests made in the Florida couple's death. That's from the Washington Times. Police shoot and kill a man near the U.S. Capitol. We've got reports from ABC Local as well as the Washington Post. A man shot dead near Capitol after he fled a routine traffic stop. Well, that sounds like a reason to shoot and kill a guy. Three killed in California plane crash, two suspects killed in New Jersey shootout, and finally, Starbucks bombing blamed on a Fight Club fancy. That's from the Washington Times. And it's, of course, always interesting to note that Chuck Palahniuk is from Portland, Oregon, author of Fight Club. The last bits here on the 716 News Purge are the War Whores and an amazing story and photo by way of Danger Room. When I saw this photo, I thought immediately that it was fake, but it is not. Picture this. F-18 buzzes Detroit apartment in a nice big show. A Navy FA-18F Super Hornet crew got permission for a low-level demo flight as part of the opening ceremony for a speedboat race on the Detroit River last weekend. This photo is what it looked like for Motor City residents. Unbelievable photo. If you think seeing armed stormtroopers roll down your street is scary, this photo comes close to that as well. Two U.S. Marines killed in Afghan bomb blast. Of course, we've got the Afghana surge kicking, and of course, the death and destruction are amping up in the meat grinder based on the phony fucking lie of 9/11. But that's some change. That's Obama's war now. Chopper shootdown reveals deeper flaws in Afghan ops again from Danger Room. Again, more death and destruction in Afghanistan. Hate crimes trumps F-22. That's from DODBuzz.com, and that's about a hate crimes supplement being put into an F-22 bill. Warhead Gates, I believe, wants to kill the F-22 program, and there's, you know, the shenanigans about putting unrelated things in bills that, of course, will give one thing more attention and the other thing less, and bullshit. But we got more on hate crimes coming up. The last note is important to me, and we've hit it before, so we'll hit it again because it is ongoing. West Virginia soldiers sue Kellogg, Brown, and Root, KBR, for chemical exposure in Iraq. And they're not the only ones doing it. I think from West Virginia to Oregon to Illinois to all around. That was the news purge, and now it's more on the alternative news purge. We've got the whole raft of latest episodes from my man Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge, recorded live every Monday night here in Portland at Dante's, and then rebroadcast on ZeroPointRadio.com and will now be archived on ZeroPointRadio.com. But the most recent episode posted up that I have for you is from two Mondays ago, The Mask of Pop Communion. I went there in person, me and my man Johnny, who helps me out on foodworldorder.com, went out. We also met with Zach. We were there for The Mask of Pop Communion. It was all about Michael Jackson, his bizarre, bizarre life, and perhaps occult and intelligence connections. So again, you can download that whole show thanks to CascadiaPublicRadio.org. And also thanks to SurfingTheApocalypse.net for linking to this story. The few other things and updates on the Michael Jackson media memes. And we've got stuff from the Washington Times and the Sun and the Guardian and ABC News and the BBC. World bids farewell to Jackson with a memorial that was like a, quote, macabre circus. And if you didn't know this, like JFK, Jackson was buried without his brain. Dad fears foul play in Jackson's death, and the last bit from the BBC, Jackson foul play not ruled out. So again, I implore you to check out that episode from Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge. That was the first one from July, The Mask of Pop Communion. But I have posted up to archive.org the latest full month archive from the Ground Zero Lounge. The month of June, there were 5 episodes. You can stream them all. You can download the whole thing. Post it up with the album art, if you will, as well as blurbs and descriptions for each episode. We had In Memory of the American Cold Case, digging back into the PNAC project as the pretext for the crimes of 9/11. Shadow Dancing with the Ultra Cruel goes into Cheney and his cousin Obama and the shadow government. The mystery and madness of Weird World, or rather, Weird War 4. The mystery and madness of Weird War 4. Going back into the 1290 days, 1290 days that Clyde and I talked about, tied in with Operation Blackjack and the Von Braun Holocaust Museum shootings, and even some biblical prophecy from the book of Daniel. Family tradition, father from the truth, goes into the birther phenomenon, for lack of a better term. The important thing about this episode is that Clyde Lewis demonstrates that the birther movement has its roots in the left wing, where Hillary supporters, hell-bent on foiling Obama's White House bid, exposed the birth certificate scandal. We're going to get into this in a little bit, or perhaps rather on the next episode. Dr. Orley Tates is this, I believe, California lawyer, and she's getting all kinds of headlines. However, it's Phil Berg and ObamaCrimes.com. He started it. He is a left Democrat Jewish lawyer from Pennsylvania. So they try and paint the whole birther phenomenon as a fringe far-right conspiracy, but that's not where it started. That's not where it's coming from. And we're going to get into and touch on Orley Tates getting more attention on the birther issue, but I believe she is probably a wrecker. The last episode in the June archive from the Ground Zero Lounge is the Lunatic Cringe. And that goes into NASA, which of course stands for Never a Straight Answer, and the L-Cross mission, and all the crazy moon memes that have been going on. So that's Clyde Lewis in the Ground Zero Lounge, the June 2009 archive. Five fantastic episodes. And again, you can hear those and tons of other old Clyde Lewis episodes that I've never even heard. Again, all thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. Now, the two latest episodes from my other favorite alternative news show, The Corbett Report, CorbettReport.com. We've got episodes 93 and 94. 93, Digging Up Skull and Bones. Bizarre occult rituals, stolen skulls, drug smuggling, the hidden hand of the patriarchs. Whatever Skull and Bones is, it's not your average fraternity. Now, some may say that, oh, this is old news, and that's all been debunked, and it's just all, you know, silly frat stuff. Look into the history. Again, the thing I love about Corbett Report episodes is how documented they are. It's all laid out. Skull and Bones, the Russell Trust, opium running, the Bush family, the OSS, the CIA, all of it. Even up to this present day, where now the Obama administration has continued where the Bush administration left off, one puppet to another. Phony left, phony right. Fighting Geronimo's family, because they claim that the Skull and Bones tomb has Geronimo's skull. But the Obama administration and now his DOJ is fighting to throw that case out. Episode 94 of the Corbett Report, You Are Being Sterilized. And we're going to get a whole lot more into this throughout these two episodes. The eugenicists' depopulation agenda is unfolding as planned. The biological and chemical attacks on our reproductive systems are leading to plummeting fertility rates across the industrialized world. Sterilization programs are culling the third world population. Worst of all, people are now being conditioned to desire their own sterility. Just a few links in there to read more about, and they come from Corbett Report's documentation page for this episode 94, You Are Being Sterilized, Zenit.org, the CBC, the Globe and Mail, on and on. There won't be any new Corbett Report episodes for several weeks. He's going on a little summer vacation, I believe. But before he left, and I just saw it this morning in my inbox, and I did not have time to add it to these shows. It was just too at the last minute, and I couldn't take it on, and it's too big a story. So I'll whet your appetite, and hopefully we're going to get much deeper into this very soon. And that's PTECH. P-T-E-C-H. PTECH and the Cyber 9/11. That's all I'm going to say. But now let's hop over to foodworldorder.com, the sister site to Media Monarchy, covering Enviro Health and the Agri Farm Industrial Complex. Buy local push prompts Ontario grocers to go independent. This from the CBC. Dale Kropf calls it Independence Day. On July 3rd, his five grocery stores in southwestern Ontario ceased to be Sobeys franchises. S-O-B-E-Y-S. Grocery chain in Canada. Corporate policies prevented him from buying local products, he says, so he joined forces with four other former Sobeys franchises and formed the Independent Hometown Grocers Co-op. We feel that local food, local presence is huge in our market, and we wanted to take advantage of that, Kropf says. Canadians are increasingly subscribing to the buy local and 100-mile diet philosophies due to concerns over imported foods. Kropf adds, the pressure was always mounting. The more recalls, the more bad press from China, wherever the product was coming from. I knew that in our case, our private label pickles are made in Indonesia. I couldn't believe that. As a franchisee for a large grocery chain, Kropf says corporate policies stipulating that he only buy federally inspected meat prevented him from stocking local products. Most federally inspected meat in Canada comes from the large corporations such as Maple Leaf, Cargill, and Tyson. Most of our beef was Alberta beef. Chicken and pork could be U.S., so to me that was a concern that, you know, we've got all these farmers in our backyard. The nine stores have retained their wholesale relationship with Sobeys for items such as dog food, spices, and breakfast cereals, but the chilled meat section of Kropf's store in Elora, Ontario is now stacked high with fresh pork, chicken, and beef that comes from no farther than 60 kilometers away. The stores are located in southern Ontario's communities such as Arthur, Durham, Lucknow, and Palmerston. Co-op member Peter Nipfel owns the Chesley Grocery Store in Chesley, Ontario, and is part owner of a provincially inspected local beef processing facility 10 kilometers from his store. Sobeys' corporate policy meant he couldn't stock his shelves with his own beef. This kind of hit me. My girlfriend's been reading The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I know one thing that I've kind of gotten from her talking about the book is that perhaps buying local trumps buying organic. The second story from foodworldorder.com comes from Food Freedom, controlling the food supply. Two new federal reports released. The Council to Improve Foodborne Outbreak Response just released its guidelines for foodborne outbreak response. And earlier this month, Obama's new food safety working group, headed by Monsanto former Vice President Michael Taylor, released its key control findings. Decentralizing the food supply would provide the greatest food security. Instead, the administration seeks omnipotent control. On Wednesday, CIFOR, that's the Council to Improve Foodborne Outbreak Response, CIFOR released a 200-page set of guidelines for foodborne outbreak response. You can download the 2.5-meg PDF for you right there. CIFOR's guidelines are targeted to local, state, and federal agencies and provide model practices used in foodborne disease outbreaks, including planning, detection, investigation, control, and prevention. That report follows the July 7th release of key findings from the new Federal Food Safety Working Group headed by Michael Taylor, former Monsanto executive. When serving at the FDA in 91, Michael Taylor helped approve RBGH, the genetically modified bovine growth hormone linked to cancer. It appears that Obama's food safety goals include the deregulation of large business and hyper-regulation of small business. With a Monsanto administration, these plans and guidelines further the goal of implementing a global agreement called Codex Alimentarius, which will criminalize nutrients and naturally grown foods. This does not bode well for food safety or food freedom. FoodWorldOrder.com. That makes an easy shift back to MediaMonarchy.com for the next blast of headlines. EnviroHealth, Arctic goo, bad advisors, strays, and weather. The first bit comes from ADN.com. And this is a gross one. Huge blob of Arctic goo floats past Alaska communities. It's not oil. No one in the area can recall seeing anything like it before. Something big and strange is floating through the Chukchi Sea. Hunters from Wainwright first started noticing the stuff sometime probably early last week. It's thick and dark and gooey and is drifting for miles in the cold Arctic waters. If you'd like to see the photo of the mysterious glob of unknown material up to 12 miles long, there's a nice photo for you, and it's again appeared off of Alaska's northern coast. Coast Guard Petty Officer First Class Terry Hassenauer says, quote, "It's certainly biological. It's definitely not an oil product of any kind." This, of course, immediately brought to mind what we hit last week on episode 131. The blob from an old unsolved mystery story. And that would be about the strange biological gelatinous goo that fell from the sky, I believe on 6 occasions over 3 weeks in Oakville, Washington, here in the Pacific Northwest. Tons of people got sick. Animals died. No one knows what it was. We posit the question, is it just more military testing and geoengineering? India to sterilize 8 million stray dogs. That's from EcoWorldly.com. More on the Monsanto administration. This time it's on the National Animal Identification System. Again from Food Freedom. NAIS listening sessions. Can a Monsanto administration really hear an update on that topic? Again from Food Freedom. As the National Animal Identification Plan stumbles. The National Animal Identification Plan is, of course, for the most part, already kicking. If you go adopt a dog or cat tomorrow, it will have a microchip in it. Obama's cap-and-trade carbon emissions bill, a stealth scheme to license pollution and fraud. Because folks much richer than you will buy their carbon indulgences from firms set up by eugenicists and elites like the Rockefellers and Al Gore. Speaking of inbred elite eugenicists, Prince Charles says we have just 96 months to save the world. Proposed pesticide is 5,000 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. This is from PlanetSave.com. And this is more great work from your change administration. We'll see if the EPA does anything about Dow AgroSciences' proposed use of sulfural fluoride to sterilize soil in farm fields that would, of course, release large amounts of a potent greenhouse gas. Bill Gates sets his sights on controlling the weather. This from techflash.com, and this should be no surprise to you. Recent patent filings have shown Bill Gates and his friends exploring subjects as diverse as electromagnetic engines and beer kegs. Now they're thinking even bigger, trying to stop hurricanes. Microsoft's chairman is among the inventors listed on a new batch of patent applications that propose using large fleets of vessels to suppress hurricanes through various methods of mixing warm water from the surface of the ocean with colder water at greater depths. And if you think that's all they're going to do, you are sadly mistaken. Bill Gates behind, you know, probably sterilizing all those useless eaters in Africa. Meanwhile, he's, of course, stocking seeds up at the Doomsday Seed Vault in Svalbard, Norway. His father sat on the board of Planned Parenthood for many, many years. Planned Parenthood, set up by Margaret Sanger. She said that black people were weeds. We can't let them know. We want to exterminate them all. She wrote letters to Hitler. He wrote letters to her. It all ties in. Sanger, Gates, Stopes, eugenics. And we've got the whole batch of new czars coming in that'll just twist your little panties into a bunch as you wiggle around and you try and do the mental gymnastics to think that Obama is still working for your best interests. The last note on EnviroHealth, Arctic Goo, Bad Advisor, Strays, and Weather, Parkinson's risk from raised pesticide levels in blood. That is from The Independent. And just another example of all the toxic shit that is in our water. Drugs and hormones and pharmaceuticals. And worse. Moving nicely over to the latest updates on the swine flu, biowars, pharma accidents, and military ops. We've got the swine flu vaccine being rushed through all the safety checks. That's from the Times Online. And furthermore, from them, experimental vaccine to be developed, or rather delivered, experimental vaccine to be delivered in military-style operation. The path of a popular medicine from the lab to the chemist or doctor's surgery can involve years of clinical trials on a select group of patients. When the new vaccine for swine flu arrives in Britain, regulators said this weekend, it could be approved for use in just 5 days. Regulators at the European Medicines Agency, EMEA, said the fast-tracked procedure has involved the clinical trials of a mock-up vaccine similar to the one that will be used for the biggest mass vaccination program in generations. It will be introduced into the general population while regulators continue to carry out the simultaneous clinical trials. The first patients in the queue for the jab being supplied to the UK by GSK, that's GlaxoSmithKline, and Baxter Healthcare. The first patients for queue, or rather the first patients in queue for the jab, may understandably be a little nervous at any possible side effects. Because, you know, a mass vaccination campaign against swine flu in America was halted in the 70s after, you know, some people suffered Guillain-Barré syndrome, a disorder of the nervous system. And a couple dozen died. Dr. Peter Holden, the British Medical Association's lead negotiator on swine flu, said it would be the biggest campaign in response to an outbreak since mass vaccination against smallpox in 1962. He said surgeries would be aiming to inoculate about 30 people an hour in a quote-unquote military-style operation. We've covered Baxter many times before. Baxter's many lethal accidents, a nice shit list. From, again, Alex Constantine's Blacklist, Baxter kills homeless people in Poland, their bioweapons lawsuit, and, of course, them accidentally mixing a deadly virus in a vaccine sent out to people. Recall, the Czech Republic scientists discovered it after all their test ferrets died. These are the guys making the swine flu vaccine for you that perhaps, who knows, maybe some military thug will point a gun at you and force you to take it this fall. More on the question, did the swine flu escape from a lab? We've hit this many times. We will hit it many more times. This from Washington's blog. NPR, National Petroleum Radio, noted that Professor John Oxford at St. Bart's at the Royal London Hospital says that the 1957 H1N1 pandemic probably started when it escaped from a lab. Quote, we reckon now in retrospect it was probably released accidentally from a laboratory, probably in northern China or just across the border in Russia, because everyone was experimenting with those viruses at the time in the lab. It was nothing malicious, Oxford believes, just some flu vaccine research that broke out of containment. Similarly, Bloomberg notes, quote, some scientists have speculated that the 1977 Russian flu, the most recent global outbreak, began when a virus escaped from a laboratory. In 2005, scientists thawed out samples of the 1918 flu and tested it. A new study says that the current swine flu is very similar to the 1918 flu and that people who lived through the 1918 epidemic have immunity to the current flu. They're 91, but there you go. Leading flu expert Adrian Gibbs, who we hit last week on petersnewyork.com, leading flu expert Adrian Gibbs believes the current swine flu may have escaped from a lab. It's also interesting that two of the three flu pandemics of the last century, the 1918 Spanish flu and the 1976 swine flu scare, both started at military bases. Starting to get it? Specifically, the 1918 flu started at Fort Riley in Kansas. The 1976 swine flu started and never spread beyond Fort Dix, New Jersey. It is unclear whether or not those bases conducted defensive biowarfare research. Naturalnews.com has swine flu appears similar to 1918 virus. We just heard that. From FloridaToday.com, Florida prepping for huge swine flu shot program. Florida Surgeon General says the state is preparing for massive swine flu immunizations, starting with the children. Of course, as the Obama administration urges states to prepare for the likelihood that the virus might worsen in the fall. We may end up averting a crisis. That's our hope, said Obama-Saya, who took time away from the G8 summit in Italy to telephone another summit back home, the 500 state and local health officials meeting to prepare for swine flu's fall threat. New Mexico Department of Health prepares for influenza mass vaccination clinics. Department continues to monitor H1N1 cases. That's from Medical News Today. We've covered it many times, basically telling all the clinics, all the schools, get ready. You're going to be the op center. Getting kids ready for soft kill vaccinations. Mission set, Immuno. A nice little kid set. UNICEF and Swedish toy maker Brio have teamed up to get kids ready for their coming soft kill vaccinations. This ties in with the Playmobil sets about how to be a TSA thug, and that's what you play like when you're a kid. Oh, I have to metal detect you. You might be a terrorist. Mandatory swine flu vaccinations this fall? Question mark. From Paul Joseph Watson, swine flu fear-mongering is increasing in its intensity the closer we get to fall, which is the time frame earmarked for the production and potential mandatory distribution of vaccines, which may not even properly fight the virus. Despite the fact that swine flu has killed far fewer people globally than the common flu virus since it was first discovered in April, media scare stories about H1N1 epidemics are becoming more and more and more frequent. A death toll in Britain of 14, every one of whom had underlying health problems to begin with, has prompted fear-mongering headlines despite the fact that the 99-2000 seasonal flu outbreak affected more people. Add to this the fact that doctors are treating swaths of ordinary flu sufferers as swine flu cases, and the exaggerated paranoia is plain to see. Reuters reports that the World Health Organization will, quote, issue guidelines about the need for an H1N1 influenza jab during a press conference. And they did. Meanwhile, the U.S. Gov put states on notice that swine flu vaccinations will begin in October. A press release from BizJournals.com, U.S. orders $690 million worth of swine flu vaccines from Novartis and $71 million worth from GSK, the aforementioned GlaxoSmithKline. Again, from Danger Room, the military wants a swine flu greenhouse. Over 1 million Americans are estimated to have been infected with swine flu so far, and the government hasn't even decided who will get the first doses of the vaccination, which won't be ready till September. Oh, which is it? September, October? I can hardly wait. It's no wonder the military wants a national pandemic response that's faster, cheaper, more convenient, and growable. Leave it to DARPA, the Pentagon's far-out research arm, to suggest gardening as a swine flu fighter. The agency's looking for proposals for a facility that can manufacture mass quantities of plants that have been genetically modified to yield antibody proteins. What could possibly go wrong? And of course, seeing, you know, faster, cheaper makes me think, again, of a different Errol Morris documentary, Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, about man's obsession with controlling nature, much to his own detriment. The last two notes from the Associated Press and the Big Brother Corporation: Google shuts office in India over swine flu fears, and the UK Health Minister, Lord Darzi, D-A-R-Z-I, has quit his post. Cryptogon.com pointed out, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to be associated with the coming swine flu debacle either. So there you have the UK's health minister quitting. As, again, we're looking down the barrel of all this. Our next story is a fun one. It got a little bit of attention on my F-book page, as it's nice to push buttons, rattle people's cages, and fuck with them a little bit. Because you'll put up something, you know, from The Onion, and people don't get it. And then I put up something real, and it says, you know, people wonder if it's from The Onion. Partipulation. Participate in your own manipulation, my friends. Eater. E-A-T-R. Eater. Military robot could feed on dead bodies for fuel. This from the fine folks at Fox News. It could be a combo of 19th century mechanics, 21st century technology, and a 20th century horror movie. A Maryland company under contract to the Pentagon is working on a steam-powered robot that would fuel itself by gobbling up whatever organic material it can find. Grass, wood, old furniture, even dead bodies. Robotic Technology Incorporated's energetically autonomous tactical robot, that's right, Eater, can... quote, this is from RoboticTechnologyInc.com. Eater can find, ingest, and extract energy from biomass in the environment and other organically based energy sources, as well as use conventional and alternative fuels such as gasoline, heavy fuel, kerosene, diesel, propane, coal, cooking oil, and solar when suitable. That biomass and other organically based energy sources wouldn't necessarily be limited to plant material. Animal and human corpses contain plenty of energy, and they'd be plentiful in a war zone. Eater will be powered by the waste heat engine developed by Cyclone Power Technology of Pompano Beach, Florida, which uses an external combustion chamber, burning up fuel to heat water in a closed loop, generating electricity. The advantages to the military are that the robot would be extremely flexible in fuel sources and could roam on its own for months, even years, without having to be refueled or serviced. Upon the Eater platform, the Pentagon could build all sorts of things: a transport, an ambulance, a communication center, even a mobile gunship. In the press materials, Robotic Technology Inc. presents Eater as an essentially benign artificial creature that fills its belly through foraging, despite the obvious military purpose. Some kind of fucked up Wally. Two interesting flashbacks for you. Back to October of last year and February of this year on MediaMonarchy.com. Robots to hunt non-cooperative humans in an army plan. And of course, The Daily Show investigating those adorable killer robots. So that's Eater, the military robot that could feed on dead bodies for fuel. Staying on the topic of the amazing... it's almost the just the amazing shift, and it's been slow, and it's been subtle, but it's been steady, and it's been building. And that's the greenwashing. It's a washing over you. You're soaking in it. The media is now replete with stories of being vaccinated or being green or your carbon footprint. All meant to misdirect you And even when you try and break out of that, they've caught you in another trap. The lunatics have taken over. And again, it's eugenics. They think they're better birthed than you, and that you need to die. And so they're drilling into you the fact that all these things that are going on, it's your fault. It's your fault the planet's so warm. You need to pay a carbon tax to international banksters. Meanwhile, the major corporations will just pay to pollute and they won't stop. It's, in a way, I think it makes sense to call them carbon indulgences because it's almost, in a way, kind of like Catholicism. You know, as long as you confess, you can keep doing all the bad shit you want. You never have any intention of actually becoming a better person, but as long as you pay for it. As long as you whisper your fuck stories to a celibate guy who's not allowed to masturbate in a little dark closet, you'll be all right. I'm rambling and veering off topic. What we have here, my friends, is, again, more fine work from the Discovery Channel. And see, and it wasn't even all that long ago that I remember that the Discovery Channel and the Learning Channel, which of course is now just TLC, when everything races to the bottom in the lowest common denominator race, their name used to stand for something, but then they just whittle it down to the acronym. So the Learning Channel is just TLC. American Movie Classics is just AMC. Kentucky Fried Chicken is just KFC. Discovery Channel to run viral pandemic survival show. Discovery Communications, the mega entertainment corporation, will air a show at the end of this month called The Colony. According to the Discovery Channel website, the show is a controlled experiment to see exactly what it would take to survive and rebuild after a global catastrophe, specifically a worldwide pandemic scheduled to strike this fall.
We are on the edge of a global catastrophic disaster. Disasters can happen at any time and in any place. Human conflict, nuclear bombs, natural disasters, chemical and biological warfare. Without warning, the world as we know it can come to an end.
It's the near future. A viral outbreak decimates the world population. Your home, your workplace, your friends and family, gone. Los Angeles is one of many cities left devastated. Infrastructure breaks down. Chaos reigns. This is the setting, The Colony. The Colony is a controlled experiment to see if 10 strangers can rebuild society in the wake of a global catastrophe. The backgrounds and expertise of these 10 volunteers represent a cross-section of modern society. For 10 weeks, they'll be isolated, with no electricity from the grid, no running water, and no communication with the outside world. All they'll have to work with are their skills, the tools and supplies inside an abandoned factory, and whatever they can scavenge at a handful of cordoned-off locations. As part of the experiment, an outside gang of looters and thugs will challenge the colonists' resources and security.
Get them out!
The world of the Colony has been designed using elements from both historical disasters and models of what the future would look like after a global viral outbreak. Throughout the series, a group of experts will put the colonists' challenges in the context of these real-world disasters.
The volunteers of the Colony have an amazing opportunity to teach all of us how to survive after major disaster strikes.
The experiment begins now. The volunteers' journey begins with a shock to the system. To simulate the stress experienced in the aftermath of a disaster, they're kept awake for 30 hours with almost no food or water.
We're all exhausted. We're all beat. We're all hungry.
Mentally drained, they're then given 15 minutes inside an abandoned department store to scavenge whatever they can carry.
I'm finding a whole bunch of ramen up here, guys.
You got clear?
After only 10 minutes, marauders and looters are sent in to steal the volunteer supplies.
Hey! You're done. You're done, man. You're done.
Got a week here. I think we got just a week.
We'll make do for now. We'll find something else later.
The final phase before arriving at the colony is lugging the 200 pounds of looted supplies 8 miles down the Los Angeles River. Now, for the next 10 weeks, they're on their own.
In an experiment of this scale and detail, the constructed world can actually become the real world for the people living in it. And they begin to internalize the experience because they realize that there is a certain reality and the potential and possible destruction of what's familiar and what's known to them.
When I went across the bridge, I'll never forget that scene, but not seeing a single living thing.
The Colony begins July 21st at 10, only on Discovery.
So that's The Colony from the Discovery Channel. A few weeks ago, we had Earth 2100 from ABC. I'm just wondering, can we just cut to the chase? Can we just get to the running man? Cut out the middleman? Let's just do it. Let's just get to the running man. Let's have people murdering each other live on television for entertainment. Let's just, come on. You know that's where you want to go. The massive amount of PSYOP here is impossible to dig through in this moment, but you have to realize in your gut you're being prepped for something. So even when I watch Simpsons episodes and they're telling me that, you know, man-made catastrophes caused by the Homers of the world are all that's all what's going on. It's all about climate change and your carbon footprint. Don't pay any attention to the GMOs or the cross-species chimeras or what's in your food or what's in your water or what's in your vaccines. Don't pay attention, you know, the fact that shit's melting on Mars and your car's not doing that. You're to blame. It's your fault. And it's all now just a big, fun reality show. That's going to do it for the B-side of episode 131 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show. Sit tight. We've got a big episode 132 coming up. But we're going to finish this episode with another holy hymn, continuing the holy meme. This time, it's an artist that is actually criticized on the aforementioned militarized hip-hop and the Masonic Agenda videos I was telling you about. But irregardless, it's KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions and The Real Holy Place.
Why are metaphysical teachings forbidden? Why are metaphysical teachings forbidden? Why are metaphysical teachings forbidden? Is it the only way to talk to God is in church? You must be kidding. For years they kept God hidden. Look for God in self, not in what's written. Turn this up and listen. If your slave master wasn't a Christian, you wouldn't be a Christian. If your slave master wasn't a Christian, you wouldn't be a Christian. If your slave master wasn't a Christian, you wouldn't be a Christian. Your whole culture is missing. Hebrews are Africans, and they originated Judaism. The belief in one God is monotheism. See, the truth is not hard. All you gotta know is the facts. When religion mixes with politics, it all gets whacked. You gotta know your history, or they'll tell you that God is a mystery. And when you're born in sin. That's bullshit. That's bullshit! They're only saying you can't win. You can't succeed. You can't achieve. Don't ask about God. Just sit there and believe. Well, I ain't trying to hear that lesson. Because one thing I know, is that the truth can always be questioned. Yeah, that's how I'm living. Ask and it shall be given. But when you're lying, you got no answers. You got hand clappers and a whole lot of dancers in the church or sanctuary. They all forgot Jesus was a revolutionary. That hung out with criminals. I would say read the Bible, but it's not the original. So it's really misleading. If you don't know the history of the author, you don't know what you're reading. If you don't know the history of the author, you don't know what you've read. You can't taste the nectar. That answers the question on why I do lectures. Because while every MC claims to be the teacher, I be dissing professors. Keep that Bible on your shelf. God helps those that help themselves. Stop reading from a dead book. Stop reading from a dead book for a live God. You know how stupid you look? God reads the Bible with you. You both read the language of the devil is dissing you. What can the next man do with a Bible in his hand that you yourself can't do? Whether Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, or Jew. Burning candles don't get you down with the universal crew. So why you dress up on Easter and worship a false Mary that looks like Mona Lisa? Damn, you lost. On Christ's Mass, what's the purpose of Santa Claus? On Christ's Mass, what's the purpose of Santa Claus? On Christmas, what's the purpose of Santa Claus? Or St. Nicholas, the sick and the sweet, or revolutionaries, check this. I'm not synthetic. I'm not anti-Christian, anti-Muslim, anti-Buddhist, or anti-Semitic. But I will set it off in the temple. Because the real holy place is mental. 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 Mental, physical, metaphysical.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say, out on my track.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.